had a teacher at our school a few years ago when I was in the third grade. Came walking into the classroom with something that looked like this. And she said, "Somebody in this room is in trouble." This thing has been wanting attention, and I'm giving it some. This makes two times we've cut it off, and it just keeps coming back. That beautiful plant, take a picture of that plant up there, one of the cameras. Sister Annie brought us this beautiful plant, and I love this plant. It's beautiful. And if all the members of that body would just blend in, if they would just blend in. But here's what I've been running into. Every once in a while, I look around, and there's one of them just takes off, and it just gets taller than everybody else. You wanted your attention, you're getting it. Sister Jennifer cut it off with scissors a few months ago, right down at ground level. You cut it off once too? I will not. It just keeps coming back. Won't learn its lesson. Now, I would not have bothered this last week. Last week, it was not taller than everybody else. It was just in the crowd. It was part of what was going on. And it didn't stand out, and it wasn't all that noticeable. You know what I'm talking about? But I looked around the next day, and it was 3 inches taller. One day later, 3 inches taller. And the next day, it was like 3 more inches taller. Then it was taller than everybody else, and it had all the attention. You know, I couldn't look at the plant without having to look at this thing. Now, I don't know why it wants all the attention. It's not prettier than the rest of the plant. I don't know. The last one came out about 3 feet above everybody else and never did flower. It just got bigger and bigger. In fact, if I hadn't cut it down, I believe it would have wrapped around all these poles, taking over the whole church. And I don't know, maybe something good would have happened if we'd have left it alone. I just don't know, but I know one thing. There's a good lesson here, because tonight I'm talking about either being exalted or being abased. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. That's the word of God. And you know what? There is no future for this. Isn't that awful? No future. Because it's no longer part of the body. It could have stayed where it was if it had just blended in. Now, I saw a movie a long time ago about plants that could talk and eat you. I hope this is not one of those plants. But this reminds me so much of a lot of people I've met through the years. In churches where I've gone. Everything can be going so well, but there seems to be that one that has to be better than everybody else, get more attention than anybody else, be noticed more, and if you don't look at that one individual, or if you don't let that individual kind of have a special part all the time, it just gets all the attention, one way or another. You can't feed it enough to keep it happy. I mean, I've known men who had to have a position over others in order to stay in the church. And I've known women also the same way. They had to have some kind of an authority over somebody else. I've known singers that had to be called on ever so often or they would just quit coming. That hasn't happened here in many, many years, if ever. But there are situations where the lesson just keeps coming around. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Now, while I'm holding this, it keeps on sticking me. It's a little. But I got power over this. I don't care what it does. I got power over it. This thing is subject to my command. Kind of feels good to be over something, doesn't it? Well, look at how big God is. God is a big God. And I left my glasses back here. Hold on just a second. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think I did. Yeah, here they are. Don't worry about that plant. There's a little piece still that long. It'll be back. And it'll get cut down again. Praise God. There's some people, I don't care what you do to them, they just keep on coming back. No matter what you say, no matter how much you cut them down, they're going to be there. And it's not that you want to get rid of them. The lesson is here, though, that if we will learn something about harmonizing, blending in, becoming part of the whole rather than the one that sticks out all the time. And I thought that was a pretty good illustration, just to look at that. I mean, that gave me an opportunity to say, hey, look, you want attention? You got it. But the future looks very bleak for that one part of that plant. Same way with an individual, I don't care who it is, in any Christian involvement with a group of people, whether it be in a choir situation, a singer in a choir. A choir that sings, unless you're called upon to take a lead part, a solo part, unless that's your place, then your place, if that is not the case, is to be a part of what everybody's doing. So many lessons can be taught about blending in. I don't know if you ever saw that old movie where Barney Fife joined the choir years ago. Barney Fife couldn't, he sang louder than anybody else. He thought that was a way to be successful in the choir. Out of tune, but he was louder than anybody else. It was quite a comedy show. I got a bang out of it because I've seen that in so many situations where I have had the ones that wanted to help me the most are the ones that could do the least. I have actually run ads in the paper looking for singers to come and help me with recordings years ago. The ones that showed up and responded could not carry a tune with their head in the bucket. But they wanted to be a part of it. I think we all want to be a part of something, don't we? Amen. In the work of God, there is a place where we can be part of something fitly framed together. Amen. And then there are instructions that if we exalt ourselves, we will be abased. In other words, God will do to us what I did with that one piece of a plant. If we try to get taller than everybody else, try to be more noticed than anybody else. Let me look into the Word of God for a moment. Let's stand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think the first scripture I read is here in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. 14th chapter of Luke. Jesus is teaching a lesson. His lesson is on humility. Amen. The 14th chapter of the book of Luke. And in the 7th verse, he puts forth a parable to those which were bidden to a feast or to invited to... he puts forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden, if any man, of any man to a wedding, sit not in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. It's kind of a bad feeling to run and grab a chair and then find out that is reserved. And then you have to move. Been there, done that. It's not a good feeling. So when you are bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made of thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Jesus is teaching these lessons, and he isn't just a man that's saying words, but he walks the talk. Amen. Amen. There has never been a greater lesson in humility than Jesus Christ being what he was. In all of our reading about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to see, knowing that this is Almighty God in the flesh, being humble and teaching these lessons, but not only teaching them with words, but living, a living example of humility. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, tonight I ask you to help us to remember again how that you are able to take us in our low estate and lift us up, and how that you yourself came into a low position and you yourself were exalted by the mighty God that made all things and given a name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Help us to remember always, Lord, as we go forward, from this point forward, that you have a plan for us, and that we don't have to make anything of ourselves, that you're able to mold us and make us and cause us to be fitly framed into the house of God, into the temple of the living God by the hand of God. And I ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn around and smile at somebody real big and then shake hands with somebody. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God's good. Thank you, Jesus. It's not a good feeling to be cut down. It's not a good feeling. I mean, sometimes it is a good feeling to be made an example of, if that example that is being made concerning you is to give you some kind of praise, compliment you for what you have done, give you some kind of award for some type of achievement. That's a good feeling, to be singled out in the crowd. But now, if you try to single yourself out and say, hey, look at me, I want you to know what all I have done. You know, people really don't really care that much about what all you've done. All the time you're talking, they're thinking about what all they've done. It's generally a competitive state of mind that we run into, no matter what we've done, how much we have achieved, how high we have risen in life, no matter how much we have earned. If you have some good fortune come your way and you try to share the good news with your friends and your neighbors, Somebody in the crowd is going to try to outdo you with a story of what they have been able to achieve. Amen. And you'll notice if you talk very long about yourself, that people, their eyes will start looking off in different directions. It doesn't take but about saying I about three or four times in a conversation when you're talking with somebody for them to be ready for the subject to change and move on. I used to do this, and when I did these things, I always liked to do this, and I got this for doing that. About when you get about that far in conversation, you're about like that plant. When it started to kind of get higher than everything else. But if somebody else in the crowd singles you out and says, let me tell you about this person. Everybody sits on the edge of their seat wanting to know all about it. Now it can be the same person that did the very same thing that he could have told you about himself. I have done this and I have done that. And I have made this and I have made that. And I have accomplished this and I have been awarded these things. And I have been so blessed and I did this and I did that. Nobody wants to hear that. But somebody else can come along and say, folks, I just want to give honor where honor's due. And they can talk about the same person, the same individual that could have said all these things about himself. And at the end of it all, everybody has paid close attention and they can hardly wait to gather around that individual and say, oh my, that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. That good news, those wonderful things. I didn't know you had accomplished all these things. See what a difference it is? When you try to lift yourself up, everybody's ready to cut you down. But when somebody else lifts you up, everybody's ready to say, oh, that's wonderful. That's how it is in the operation of God. We can't make ourselves be what God wants us to be. We have to let somebody else lift us up. Amen. We have to let somebody else bring us to a higher position. The best thing we can do is what we're instructed to do. I believe it's in the book of Peter. Let's see. In the book of 1 Peter, amen, the 1 Peter, the 5th chapter in 1 Peter. Let me just read a portion of this chapter concerning being subject to one another. The 5th chapter of 1 Peter. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Casting in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And who do you think the devil's going to notice the most? The one that's trying to be bigger than everybody else. The one that's trying to outdo everybody else. The one that's bragging about himself or herself all the time, saying, look what I've done. Look what I am. Look where I have been. Amen. It can, if anybody had a right to talk about great achievements, it's Jesus Christ. But look at how he operated. When he talked to people, it was words like, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Not one of them is forgotten before God, but Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God clothes, he puts clothes on the grass of the field. He takes care of the fowl of the air. Not one of the birds is forgotten before God. And the hairs of your head are all numbered. And no matter how much you try, and no matter how you think, and how deep you can think, you cannot add even an inch to how tall you are. Amen. You can't change any of these things. But God can do anything that needs to be done in your life. This was his teaching and the way he went about talking to people. But he could have simply said, let me tell you about who I am. I am the one that can fix everything for you, and I can do this and I can do that. But what he did was set an example. He went about humbling himself and making himself of no reputation and being there in the crowd with the people who, I mean, it wasn't like he had come there in a chariot with a big escort of people with trumpets and cymbals saying, hear ye, the king is coming. But he came into town humble and lowly and riding upon an ass and borrowed one at that. And there were people that went before him saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But these were people that had seen some things and witnessed some things, but they were not the people that you would think of to introduce a king. Praise God. It was the common people, the ordinary people, preparing a way before him. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody could have tooted his own horn, Jesus could have. But he said just enough to let people know that there's something here that you want to know a lot about. But here we are after about 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus Christ, a humble Nazarene walking on the shores of Galilee with no shelter to call home, no particular home, no job, and a few followers who became unemployed in order to follow him, not knowing where they were going or what they were going to do. But he went about helping people. He went about humbling himself before others. He went about being a part of those in need, but being amongst them and also being able to help them by being their friend. Hallelujah. But for 2,000 years, we have been talking about this. I mean, I haven't personally been talking about it for 2,000 years, but I am part of a heritage, a part of a line of people that have been rejoicing. And we have been saying, he is Lord of all. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you, and even back in the days of Peter, when he was speaking to the people who were asking, what does this mean? What's this all about? This Jesus who had humbled himself even to the death on the cross and had been placed in a tomb, he wasn't up there to deliver the message on the day of Pentecost. He could have been. He could have stepped out the door. And he said, you know what? This is going on in there. This is what I tried to tell you about. And you should have listened to me. No, he left that all up to somebody else. Praise God. Let somebody else talk about it. And so here comes a man who was a sinner, a filthy sinner, when Jesus had called him to come and follow. Here's a man who had been called and changed and forgiven many times and had failed and found grace and was able to restore himself with the help of God many times. Turns out that Simon Peter is a spokesman to tell the whole world what to do to be saved. It seems like that would have been the place of Jesus Christ. And really, if you see and understand, which I think most of us do, it was inspired and it was unctioned by the Holy Ghost. It was Christ in Peter actually giving him words to say. But Peter was not saying, "Hey, look at me. I'm Peter. I'm the man that he called. I'm the one that's got the keys to the kingdom." No, that wasn't what he was doing, and neither was Jesus there to say, "Let me give you the answer of what you must do." Although he could have been. But here comes a man after the death of Jesus talking about this son of David that you have brought to an open shame. He it is that God hath highly exalted. He it is that has an arm outstretched and a hand reaching out with mercy so that you can find help. Right now, today, you can be brought forward and experience what we have experienced. Because this one that you killed is Lord of all. This one that you brought down has been raised up. Praise God. This one that was willing to humble himself has been brought to a place higher than anybody else has ever been able to ascend to. And he it is who yet makes it possible that any one of you and your children and their children too, if you can humble yourself, and there's nothing more humbling than having to repent. That's what the message of repentance is about, is saying, humble yourself. Be willing to admit you're a sinner. Be willing to admit that you messed up. Be willing to admit you need salvation. We all need it, don't we? I was listening to a man on a fancy multi-million-dollar telecast tell others how to be saved. Now, they had the finest equipment, probably better than we will ever be near. And you could tell that they had resources and money to support what they were doing. And they were on the streets telling people how to be saved. And I was interested, because I'm interested in finding out ways to talk to people and let them know how to be saved. And this gentleman, with all this money, all this class, and all this ability, met a lot of folks and said a lot of words. But in the whole hour of watching this individual operate, I never saw him tell anybody, even one time, how to be saved. Yet he claimed that they were saved. Praise God. There's more to salvation than saying, "I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." There has to be a humbling involved. There has to be something that says, "I need help. I am as low as I can go." You know why so many people who have had terrible things happen to them find God and they have testimonies? You know, I was in a mess when Jesus saved me. You know why this happens so many times? Because it is required of us. If we're going to be saved, we're going to have to be saved when we're at the bottom. When we are down, we can be lifted up. When we are lifted up, we have to be brought down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You killed the Prince of Life. You killed the one who is the answer. You have slain and hung on the cross and murdered the one who is the only hope for us today. This is what Peter was teaching. And they were saying, So what shall we do? Is there any hope for us? What shall we do? What can we do? And he simply was saying with the words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, was submit yourself, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And He will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will bring you forth. He will change your life. Praise God. What one of us can boast about what we were that caused us to be what we are today? Thank you, Jesus. I don't care how rich you are, you can't buy the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much you have done, you cannot impress God with all you've done enough for Him to save you. Thank you, Jesus. I've never heard anybody, as long as I've been in this church for 21 years here in Norwich, I have never heard the first person get up and say, hallelujah, I saved myself because I figured out what to do and I brought salvation into my own life. I've heard a couple come close. But it's always been thank you. It's been thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for lifting me up. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me out of the pit. Thank you, Lord, for giving me something to stand on when I was sinking deep in sin. Oh, it was love that lifted me. Thank you, Jesus, for a hand that reached farther down than I could reach up. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to me when I could not find you. You came down where I was and brought me up and set my feet on a solid rock. Those are the kind of testimonies I've heard for the past 21 years. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. That He may exalt you in due time. That due time would be when it is God's time. He knows when it's a good time for you to shine and shine bright. He knows when it's a good time. I've had some experience with folks in years gone by who had so much zeal but not enough knowledge to go with it that they just wanted to just push this on everybody. There is a process that has to be involved. Every individual has a right to be able to be saved. But in this process, there has to come a time of being humbled. Now, I can try to humble you, but it may not work. We're instructed to humble ourselves. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Oh, I have been humiliated. I have been humbled. Usually that results in me being resentful, has in times past, has resulted in me becoming angry at the one who humbled me, the one who brought me down. I'm not talking about God now. I'm talking about somebody in my past, as a child or at some point in my life, who said things that offended me or made me look like a fool in front of my peers. I don't know how many of you have been there, but if you have been there, you know how it feels for somebody to humiliate you. Praise God. You know, when I shot my teacher with a rubber band, I didn't realize. I know. I'm giving the PG portion of this tonight. Parental guidance. But when I shot my teacher with a rubber band, to me, when I did that, I was just having fun. I was just having fun. But really, as I think back, and I was just, you know, like in the fifth or sixth grade, but as I think back, I wanted all the kids to laugh at me or laugh with me. I thought it would be funny because I knew we all hated that teacher anyhow. Nobody in that class liked that teacher. And somebody had to do it. You know, it's like, so I felt like if I would just shoot him, I mean, I wasn't going to hurt him, just a rubber band, a paper wad, you know, in a rubber band. I wasn't going to hurt him. In fact, I didn't even think it would hit him. I just thought it would be cool for the others to see me try to shoot him with his paper wad. I wanted, after class, to have one of them pat me on the back and say, "Man, you're brave. I wish I was as brave as you." That would have felt good. I wanted to have that enjoyment of, you know, thumbs up. Cool dude. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be noticed. I wanted everybody to like me. So, in my childish way of thinking, if I could just shoot at that teacher with a paper wad, if I hit him, I don't know what's going to happen, but surely all the kids will like me because that's what they all want to do anyhow. If I miss him, they'll know at least I tried, and somebody will think it was cool. But you know what? I didn't really take aim all that good, but that paper wad hit him right in the face. I was just sitting there in my desk. Ping, you know, here it went. Pow, right in the face. He jumped. Everybody in the class got real quiet. And there was a look of horror on everybody's faces. Now, it would have made a big difference if that man had said, "That was funny. Whoever did that, come on up here. I think you did a wonderful thing." Now, that's not what he did. Thank you, Jesus. He said, "Okay, who did it?" And everybody just turned their heads and looked at me. It wasn't a look of, "You're cool, dude." It wasn't a look of, "You're our hero." It wasn't a look of, "I wish I could be like you." It wasn't what I expected. Amen. They all just looked at me. And he said, he didn't say, "You're a hero. I appreciate that." He didn't say, "I'm going to give you a good grade for the rest of the semester." He just started using me as an example. I wanted attention. I got it. Would you turn the air down? And then we'll turn it back up when it gets hot. I wanted attention. And he gave it to me. He had this way of putting his hands behind his back and walking back and forth. We all despised him. He just made us nervous. When he looked at us, we felt guilty whether we were guilty or not. A lot of times I was, but I didn't tell him everything I had done and knew. But this particular day, everybody knew. And he stopped while he was walking back and forth looking. And all of a sudden he went, "Rendell." "Did you get your homework last night?" I hear a voice from the past. I heard myself coming out of the audience. Did you get your homework last night? No. Actually, my answer was yes. He said, "That's great." Our homework assignment was we were supposed to read a certain amount of the book, and we were going to have a pop quiz the next day, and we were supposed to know these answers. Only 10 questions. Just 10 questions. And I thought, you know, since it's only 10 questions, hey, I'll probably be able to answer them. Pop quiz, I mean. So I didn't even bother to look at the book. I did take my book home, though. I took my book home. I looked good. I always carried a satchel with me, a briefcase. In fact, I went from grade school all the way through high school. I always carried a briefcase. They called me Satchel Britches, among other names. One man called me Suitcase. Here comes Suitcase. And I always carried, I always had a briefcase with me when I was a child in school. So it looked good to go home, carry your books. It looks like you're important. Looks like you're going to go home and study diligently and get your homework. Of course, they didn't know what all I had in that briefcase. Sometimes I had frogs and all kinds of things. But anyway, it looked good. Did you get your homework last night? Did you do your assignment? Did you read? Yes, sir. He said, "Boys and girls, we're going to have a pop test." I'm going to ask a question. And he said, "If you think you know the answer, I want you to raise your hand." And he said, "But we're going to start out with Rendell. And since Rendell read his assignment last night, he will know the answers. So we're going to let him be the example of what we want today." Rendell. And I don't remember what the question was. And he said, "Since you're going to be the example, I want you to go ahead and raise your hand." I raised my hand. He said, "A little higher. Higher." He said, "Higher than that." And I raised it real high. He said, "Raise it real high." And I was stretching it. He said, "Now keep it up." I said, "Okay." And he asked me a question I didn't know the answer to, but I had my hand up. And he asked this question. And he said, "Well, I see we have a young man in the class that has his hand up. So, Rendell, give us the answer." And I started to put my hand down. He said, "No, keep your hand up because we're going to have a few more questions. And you are the example." My hand came down a little. He said, "Put it higher. Higher." Yes, sir. Now, this is at the beginning of the classroom session. We had about an hour to go. I don't know if you've ever tried to keep your hand up for an hour. It weighs over 500 pounds within 30 minutes. That's, you talk about torture. Now, if a teacher pulled that today on a school kid, he'd probably go to prison for it. In fact, I think I'm going to call Mr. Argo and tell him, you know, we still got some laws and I still got that on my mind. Had my hand up. I had the attention all right. He asked the question. I didn't know the answers to any of them. Not one of them. But every time he asked a question, he said, "Well, I see we have a young man with his hand up." Now, that made me very angry. I was humbled, but that's not the kind of humbling that gets you saved. It's It's the kind of humbling that causes you not to be accepted amongst those around you. You know, it was things like that that caused me when I would go out on the playground at recess time. When they would choose a ball team, I'd stand right up in front of the captain, raising my hand, wanting to be chosen, and they would just choose past me. They'd choose everybody else to be on the ball team. Both sides. Nobody chose me. Either side. These were kids my age in my class. I had done everything I could to get their attention. John, I want you on my team, the other captain say. Sam, you be on my team. And I standing there, what about me? Nobody wanted me. So I just took my little box of pretzel sticks and decided for myself which team I wanted to be on. Didn't matter. They didn't care. So I just walked out there on the field and stood there. One day, I remember, I was standing there with my pretzel sticks. And the guy with the bat hit a line drive right into my nose. Right in my nose. I stood there for a few seconds, still had my pretzel sticks in my hand. But I felt, you know, the sun was going down. All of a sudden, everything was closing in, and I felt myself going down. And as I started down, I said to the kid beside me, don't let anybody eat my pretzel. I handed him my box of pretzel sticks before I fell. I don't know whatever happened to my pretzel sticks, but I wanted to protect my pretzels because that's part of what I carried around in my briefcase. Not at the same time. But I remember just all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, they were carrying me. They were carrying me. These guys that didn't want me, had my whole body. They were carrying me. It felt so good. I had blood all over my face, but it still felt good. Because I could hear them saying things. He's out cold. He is out cold. Get out of the way. We've got an emergency. Reynolds been hurt. Oh, and they had my legs. They had my arms on them, holding my head. And I, you know, for a while, I guess I was unconscious because I didn't know anything until all of a sudden I was aware I'm being carried. And they're talking good about me. Although it's saying he's hurt, you know, but it's like they cared. They were caring and said, get out of the way, get out of the way. Rendell's been hurt. And all these guys from both sides, from both teams, they were carrying me. Praise God. Still don't know what happened to those pretzel sticks. But I know what it is to be abased. But the line drive to the nose and other places on my body many times because I would be, didn't have sense enough to get out of the way sometimes, you know. But I know one thing for sure. I never, ever, through all my years in school, the team that I played on, never lost. Never lost a game. Because when I would join a team, I'd go out in the field, and when that team would fall behind, I'd just change sides. Just get on the other side, because when it would come time for the game to end, I was able to always say, we won! We won! Praise God. Amen. God's good, isn't He? Talk about childish things. But you know what? There are a lot of folks in church. And when I say these things, I'm just talking about the church in general. The church is bigger than Norwich, Connecticut. There are a lot more people than the few we've got here. Amen? And there are a lot of folks in a lot of places tonight. And some will be listening to this and they're going to say, yeah, I can relate to that. Because we all know somebody somewhere that wants all the attention. Amen. If they can't get it one way, they'll get it another. Amen. Oh, I can think. I have so many things. I'm not going to go to all those places and tell you all I've done, all I've been. Besides that, you know, it's interesting after I say a couple of things, but if I keep talking about me and what all I've done, and what all I've seen, and what all I have, after a while, your eyes will start going. Somebody will go. Because it's not about me. Thank you, Jesus. There was a young preacher. We were in a conference. And there was a young preacher just getting started in the ministry. And they... Before church, he had been talking about all the people, what a message he had. Turn the air back on somebody. He was talking about what a... He said, when I preach this message... They're going to shout. It wasn't me, it's somebody else. I was there. He said, they are going to run the aisles. I have a masterpiece, he said. And he was around talking to all of us, talking to all of his friends about what a message he had and how powerful it was. And this is really going to go tonight. And we were standing back there in this large, huge congregation where he was going to speak that night. And he was just, he had his finger in his Bible. And he just could hardly wait to get up there. Couldn't wait for the choir to stop singing. And the people just let him have his turn because he's ready to go. And when they just started mentioning it's time for the speaker for tonight, I believe it was a youth convention, but when they started mentioning the fact that it's time for the special speaker, he started running to the platform. And he was making a show of it. It was like, man, I'm on top of the world. You know, he was headed to that platform before they could finish introducing the speaker. Everybody knew who the speaker was going to be. He was carrying that Bible. You know, he was headed for that platform. And he had it, man. He was going to bring the house down tonight. And when they introduced him, I'll never forget, he got up and he put his Bible on the pulpit and he said, it was quiet. Everybody just watched him, you know. And an old minister, an old man of God, came to the platform, came to the pulpit, and he said, there's a strong lesson in this. He said, son, learn this lesson. If you had come to the pulpit the way you left the pulpit, you would have been able to leave the pulpit the way you came to the pulpit. I just remember that happening. I don't remember who it was, but I just remember. I'll never forget that old man saying that. I learned, that kid probably taught me more than he realized that night. I don't know what ever happened to him, and he may have never preached again, but he preached one of the most powerful, or gave one of the most powerful illustrations of what it is being taught in the Word of God. Don't exalt yourself. Let God lift you up. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me try to get through here. Amen. In the book of Philippians, and I'll close in this area, in the book of Philippians, the second chapter, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, If any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and looked of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I used this scripture a few nights ago and we were on another subject, but it's very fitting tonight to see the example of how lowly and humble our Savior was, and yet how highly exalted as Lord over all He is. This is the way the work of God is. And just think about this. We who are sinners, unfit, always trying to get our way and get some kind of attention and be noticed and be somebody, whether you want to admit it or not, just about everybody here at one time or another in your life was a little Rindle. We've all been through those times, those stages in our lives where we wanted somebody to pay attention and we wanted to do something to impress somebody. And sometimes we were driven by those desires just to get some kind of attention, some more than others. And probably in my life I was an extreme in some areas because I wanted people to notice me when I was young. However, wherever we have come from, just think about how far it is from there to where you are now. That same name that is above every name, that has everything that you could ever desire in it, is what you have given to you. The name of Jesus in baptism means you are buried with Him in baptism. You have settled it. Buried with Him in baptism actually means you have died with the Lord. Amen. And whatever comes next is with Him. So we rise to walk in newness of life. We go down in Jesus' name and we come up with victory. We come up with power. We come up with ability to do all things in word or deed in the name of Jesus. We come up with knowledge that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a lost, undone sinner without God. Amen. But Jesus saved me. Thank you, Jesus. We can all say that. All of us who have come to that point in our life where God has touched us, changed us, and we have been buried with Him and been brought up into a new life. He has exalted us. We did what we could do. In humbling ourselves, it included repentance, baptism in Jesus' name. But that was not the completion of it all. It was something we could do, but without God's power to make this work, without God's strength and His Word and His ability to make these things happen, we could have gone and got baptized and said the right words, but it wouldn't have caused the change that we've experienced. But our baptism in Jesus' name was more than just getting in water. It was more than just hearing somebody speak some words over us. Thank you, Jesus. We humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Thank you, Jesus. Through obedience, we humbled ourselves. And He exalted us by giving us a name which is above every name. Thank you, Jesus, by giving us a power that is above all power. Let's stand together. By giving us a key that unlocks the strongest door. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By giving us a way that will take us to places where those that are not living for God cannot go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I've been to a lot of beautiful places in my life, and I've been on a lot of high hills, and I've seen some beautiful things standing on the top of the mountain in many places. But there's nothing that compares to this experience of being brought from being a sinner into a living relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. We praise you. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. You'll never see this again. Except you will probably see the result of a future one that grows from that little stem that will also be cut off. But this is just a plant. And this is not going to last long. It's not going to be watered. It's not going to be planted. I don't think, unless one of you wants to get it and take it and try it. Give it a chance. Just don't let it grow up here. I don't want it anymore. Hallelujah. Isn't this terrible? Right now, it still has some life in it. Probably doesn't really realize what's going on. Doesn't realize it's been cut loose, like a lot of people. They're in the church, and they have done a lot of things and think they're still part of everything that's going on. And really, they've been cut off. God roots us up sometimes, and we need to just evaluate ourselves, see where we are. Are our motives, are our intentions, are we pure in heart? Praise God. Are we what we should be in the church? Is this a building fitly framed together that we're part of? Or are we like this? You know, saying, hey, look at me. Praise God. Humble yourself. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I know some folks that interpret that to mean that we're supposed to look poor all the time. Look sad all the time. Don't laugh at any jokes. Don't cut up. Don't have fun. Let's all come around the front. Keep a sad face. Amen. That's not what it's teaching. Amen. It's okay to laugh sometimes. It's okay to have fun sometimes. It's okay to say something to make people laugh sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God. I'm glad we're part of a group that can do those things and not be out of place. I don't have to try to lift myself up above everybody else to make you laugh at me to get you to like me. Amen. I believe people really care about me here, and we really care about each other. Praise God. But our love is for God, and through His love, we're brought together. And our love for one another, it goes beyond just caring about one another. There's a love of God that brings fellowship as we walk in the light. And you know what? It does a body good to meet with the people of God. Yeah. Amen. To be a part of a group of people where we are of one mind and one accord in one place at the same time. In places like this, the place can be shaken. Amen. The doorpost can be moved. I mean, things can happen. You know, I was speaking in Newington the other night. I was just talking like this, but I said some words. And something about those words just caused a lady in the crowd to just... Man, did she get happy. I don't remember what I said. But there was something about those words. Just a few words talking in this kind of a voice. I was just speaking, and there were some words that just touched her life. And I just remember, just like it was just today. I mean, she's just sitting right down there, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of those words, she just started, yes! And when she did that, it was like a spark. It just went through the congregation. Just went through the congregation. I wasn't shouting. I wasn't jumping around. I wasn't trying to cause anything. I was just trying to make a point, and the point I was making did something for that lady that caused everybody to get blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When it was at the end of the message the other night, the crowd was small. They had been on a trip, and they were off at some conference in some other state, and every year about this time, you know, they have a lot of these things going on, so the crowd was a little thin. And I hadn't really noticed that we had visitors among us. I was just there speaking to a lot of empty pews, and maybe half of what's usually there when I go over there. But they were into the service. They were into the service. And when we mentioned something about Jesus is here to meet your need, He wants to be your friend. Just talking like that. Here comes a man that I hadn't seen before. And he just came up and just lifted both of his hands. Here came a Chinese lady, a surgeon, a doctor from China that had been invited there by another doctor. Here she came, not knowing what to do, but willing to do whatever it takes to get in on this friendship with Jesus. I'm sorry I didn't tell you all that I was going, because that was one of the best times I've ever had in Newington. One of the smallest crowds, but one of the greatest services I've ever been in over there. Hallelujah. And this young man, this Spanish man, nobody there knew him. I didn't know him. We don't even know why he came, if he was invited, if he just came in on his own. But somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "This man wants you to come over and pray for him." And he was standing there with his hands up. I went over there and laid my hands on him. And he just started just praising God. And you know how they do after church when they start making the announcements, and it goes on and on and on and on. And they were making announcements. He raised his hand. He wanted to say something. And these are the words of that young man, because I was standing right next to him. He said, "I just want to thank everybody. I didn't know this church was here. I want to thank you that when I went tonight looking for something I needed, I found this church." Thank you, Lord. And he said, "I came in here tonight and I found what I needed." Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what we want to be. We just want to be here for those people that need what we've got. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I got a telephone call last week from somebody who lives in Musa. And this individual said, "I've been watching you people for years." And she said, "You know what has got to my heart and caused me to want to call you and say these words?" And she was very complimentary. And she said, "I don't see the ordinary." She said, "On your programs, it's not the fancy church furnishings." She said, "It's not the class or the way you dress that has touched my heart. But," she said, "it's something about when I sit there and look forward to that program every week. What I'm looking for is those people who humbly present the love of God that has touched my life. This is what she said on the telephone just a few days ago. Amen. Thank God that they're seeing that in us. I like that. Praise God, because there's so many people out there saying, hey, look at me, look at us, look at what we can do. Send us some money and we will do this for you. This world needs somebody to come lowly and say, look, we want to be part of your life. We want to be here for you. We may not have a whole lot of stuff, but we got a lot of God. And He wants you to be His friend. Let's praise Him tonight. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mine goes back to that sermon I preached. It's a highway to heaven. God has a way. If we don't humble ourselves, He can humble us. I mean, I did feel the call of God. I had given up my job. I had changed my plans for the future and said, yes, I will follow you, Jesus. It was God that dealt with my heart. I knew it was. And so, I studied for that message. I practiced for that message. I recorded that message and listened to it over and over, and I trained my voice to sound like a preacher. Ladies and gentlemen, I take my text tonight, and I really couldn't find the one that said highway. I knew it was in the Bible somewhere, but I didn't know anything about a concordance yet. And I searched and searched the scriptures, and I just finally just said, well, you know, it's in the Bible, but there is a highway to heaven. And this is the way I practice on tape recorder. Ladies and gentlemen, praise God. It's good to be here. And I'm going to speak on the subject, there is a highway to heaven. It didn't turn out that way. I must have listened to it a dozen times. It sounded so good. You know, when I listened to that, I thought, man, when they hear this, mama's going to dance. Daddy's going to run the aisles. The whole church is just going to clap their hands and rejoice. Amen. A few years later, when I saw that young man come to that pulpit, man, I'm going to give it to you tonight. And then I saw him go off with his head down. I thought of myself. And it really made an impact on me when that old man said, son, if you'd have come into the pulpit the way you left, you could have left the way you came into the pulpit. In other words, he was saying, come in meek and lowly and humble. And humble yourself. God will lift you up and you can leave here rejoicing tonight. Thank you, Jesus. After all that practice and all that study and all that determination to really make those people shout, I got up there to preach that night. And I was ready to say, ladies and gentlemen, praise God, it's good to be here tonight. I opened my mouth and I said, it's a highway! I tried to bring my voice down. I want to speak on the subject! And you know, instead of shouting and running the aisles, they were standing, sitting there looking at me. I used to have a Cocker Spaniel. He had that look on his face. When certain sounds would be heard, if you'd do something he didn't expect, he'd go. They all looked like that Cocker Spaniel. I wanted them to jump, do something. I was in a spot. It's a highway to heaven! Humble yourself. God bless you. See you next service.